Mediterranean island lost in the Atlantic. And when I'd visited my aunt almost 6 years ago, the week had passed in an endless succession of cloudless blue skies in March. I'd hardly expected tropical weather in December, but hadn't predicted snow the second I arrived. Thanks a lot, global warming. Still, as I stared at the enormous pine tree dominating the cafe window, almost blocking the words Café Belle Vie in gold letters on the glass, I had to admit it would make a good photo for the travel blog I was planning to launch once I had some decent pictures and had done some travelling. I fished my phone from my pocket and took a couple of snaps, liking the slightly blurring effect of the gently falling snow. Beyond the twinkling tree lights were customers in the cafe, lots of them, chatting and laughing. I imagined inserting myself among them and being sociable. It was ages since I'd mingled with that many people, much less chatted and laughed. In fact, I wasn't sure I'd laughed at all since Gran's death, nearly 8 months ago. My gaze tracked a woman and child heading towards the entrance, the girl's eyes aglow as if she'd had a glimpse of Narnia. If she'd lived here all her 4, 5, 6 years, she might never have seen snow before. "I want hot chocolate, Mummy, and a great big cake like this," she said, voice carrying on the chilly afternoon air, demonstrating the size with a pair of small gloved hands. "Maybe 2 cakes." English. "You can have some hot chocolate, but no cake," said her mum, with a smile in her voice. "We'll be having dinner soon."
"Can we have a snowball fight?"
"There's not enough snow yet, Holly." Holly? It seemed the universe was determined to remind me of Christmas at every turn. I huddled into my pale blue furry coat, the one my friend Anna said made me look like Sully from Monsters, Inc., as if I'd landed in Antarctica instead of a fishing village on the west coast of France, and imagined Mum saying, "Go on," as if coaxing Tess, our ancient collie, into the garden on a rainy morning. I hitched up my holdall, treading gingerly across the cobbles as the snow settled around me, glad I'd worn my old Doc Martens and allowed Mum to wind her woolly scarf around my neck before leaving the house that morning. Entering the cafe behind the woman and her daughter, I was hit with a blast of warmth and two of my favourite smells, ground coffee and freshly baked pastry, the others being lemons, pizza, and cut grass after rain. And my appetite rebooted. I hadn't even eaten since breakfast, when Mum insisted I demolish a bowl of porridge to line my stomach, as though I was planning to drink my body weight in gin rather than heading to the airport to catch a plane. Watching her dart around the kitchen in her ancient jeans and roll-neck sweater, I felt a rush of affection and almost asked her to come with me. But she'd been to Chamillon a few months earlier to attend her sister's wedding, and I knew she wouldn't want to leave the farm again so soon. Plus, she was helping organise the Christmas play at the local village hall and preparing to host the Bailey family Christmas at the farmhouse, which wouldn't be the same without Gran, and was the main reason I'd opted to give the whole thing a miss this year. "It won't be the same without you, Nina, but your aunt will take good care of you," Mum had said, pausing to massage my shoulders, her arms and hands strong from years of sheep shearing. "Just try to have a nice break." "I'll do my best," I promised. I hadn't mentioned I was going to use the time away to try and get my travel blog off the ground, preferring to present it when I'd got some posts to share. When he dropped me at the airport, Dad had wrapped me in a bear hug, almost crushing my ribs, as though I was embarking on an expedition fraught with danger. "Sure you don't want me to sort the bastard out?" he said gruffly. "It's not too late, you know." I'd breathed in his familiar scent of old barns and dried manure, overlaid with Mum's jasmine-scented shower gel, and considered his offer for a moment, imagining Scott's face as he turned to see Dad bearing down on him in his tractor. Except Scott had moved on and so had I, and I couldn't condone murder, not even by tractor. "Honestly, Dad, I had a lucky escape," I'd said, wondering whether it would be better or worse to admit that my ongoing grief was more about losing Gran than Scott. "It's in the past, and I'm over it." He'd held me at arm's length, the soulful dark eyes my brother had inherited. Mine were the same clear grey on a good day as Mum's, searching my face for clues. "Really? Really?" I'd reassured him, affectionately taking in his everyday look of blue.